maximizing God's blessing in your life. Here at BHBC, at the beginning of 2020, we are in a series, a season of teaching and preaching on 2020 vision. And in my New Year's message, I spoke about 2020 vision, and I said that there was something that God put on my heart to come into focus for this year. And we thought of going to the optometrist. And you know, when you go to the optometrist, they kind of read the, what do you call it, the letters. You know, is it an N? Is it a Z? Is it an A? What on earth is it? And they adjust the lenses in front of your eyes till you can actually see. And it comes into focus. And at the beginning of this year, we were looking at what things need to come into focus in our lives in 2020. And what things actually need to go out of focus so that we can have 2020 vision. And 2020 vision is the perfect vision we have when we can see what we meant to see at 20 feet. It doesn't mean you have perfect vision, but at 20 feet, it's perfect. So it's very visionary, in other words, in terms of preaching sermons and taking the church forward in vision. But it means that certain things have to come sharply into focus in our lives, and certain things in our lives just need to go out of focus. And we looked at what we need to lay hold of, grab hold of, but we also looked at what we may need to let go of and drop and forget about in 2020 when God is doing a new thing. And we do believe that God is doing a new thing. Amen. So, how do we maximize God's blessing in our lives? What do we need to do? And today's message is really for everyone, absolutely everyone. And if you're involved in ministry, we're going to see three things in a prayer in the Bible that will help you maximize what God wants to do through your ministry, through your life, through what God wants to do through you. So in the Old Testament tonight, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And can we get that scripture up, please? There it is. Jabez. Have you heard of Jabez? Well, you're hearing about him now. Was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Ooh. Let's get to the next bit. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. You notice the play on words there. His name, Jabez, meaning pain. Then he prays, God, bless me, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Let's go back to verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So what's going on here? So 1 Chronicles in the Bible, essentially for a few chapters in 1 Chronicles, is a genealogy. It's a list of names. And there's over 600 names mentioned there. And when we get to chapter 4, verse 9, Jabez's name isn't just mentioned. We are told that he was more honorable than his brother. His brothers. Wow. So something's up with Jabez that is more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, in Old Testament times and in Hebrew culture back in Old Testament times, you know this as well as I know this. When they named a child, it very often spoke about the circumstances or the significance of that child. So when she called him Jabez, named him Jabez, Jabez means sorrow or one who causes sorrow, or pain or one who causes pain. So she named him that because in the birthing process, somewhere in that process, there must have been so much pain going on that she thought, this child's a pain. And I want everybody who ever meets him to know that he's a pain by calling him pain. It would be the same as calling you pain. Imagine your mother named you pain. Same thing. Because it signified something. Back in South Africa, I knew a guy by the name of Awake. And I asked his mom, Maria, why did you call your son Awake? What's the significance of it? Is it tribal? Is it a family name? Is it custom? And she said, no, quite simply, I was awake when I gave birth. And that signified the moment. And she wanted everybody through the life of her son to know every time they called him awake, that he was awake. But I actually told him one day, it's hilarious. I said, awake, I think you've got to live up to your name a little bit more, because I saw him limping around the one day. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, oh, Kevin, I've hurt my foot. I said, awake, you're supposed to be awake. How did you hurt your foot, awake? And he said to me, I was just standing at the roadside and I put my foot out and a car drove over it. And I said, awake, if you were truly awake, that would never have happened. But here we go, pain. Jabez's mother calling him pain. She wanted everybody to know this child's a pain. But also, not only was he a pain, but he would cause pain or he would cause sorrow wherever he goes. I mean, how grim is that? Somebody today mentioned the town Grimsby. They asked, have you heard of Grimsby? And I said, yes, I've heard of Grimsby. It's kind of a name that sticks, and I don't know with you, but in me, I've never been there. And if anybody's from Grimsby, bless you. And I'm sure it's a beautiful place. But if you've never been there and you've only heard of it, you know, it conjures up a certain kind of perception, certain kind of significance. And that's what the name Pain would do. Wherever he goes, he caused pain. He caused it. I mean, imagine him at school. Preschool with the teacher. Here comes pain. That poor preschool teacher is going to have a painful existence. I mean, imagine any group activity or sporting activity. Pain wouldn't only be there, but pain and sorrow would come upon them. We're losing again because Jabez is on our team. That's Jabez. Great. He's off to a great start in life. His mother has signified him, I therefore knight thee pain. Go forth and multiply pain and sorrow. To make matters worse, in Bible times, very often, not only did a name signify something or speak of something like the name awake, it was also prophetic. So every time they spoke the name over somebody, they were prophesying their destiny. How Grimsby is that? Imagine every time somebody spoke to this guy, they were prophesying, you are a pain, and everywhere you go, you bring sorrow with you. So he was born into an unfortunate name. But God turned it around for him. You see, it's not where you come from. It's not what people may call you. It's not what people may perceive you can or can't do. It's not whether people perceive, oh, I've got so-and-so on my team at work today, means they're going to be having some bad luck. That would have been Jabez. But the Bible says, out of more than 600 names, it takes time out, the author takes time out to say, first of all, although he was a pain, he was more honorable than his brothers. So something had to happen after being declared and prophesied, falsely prophesied, because you get false prophets out there, pain. I mean, what a shame it is when not even your own mother believes in you. How sad is that? I mean, usually mums believe their child is the best looking, the tallest, the prettiest, the most muscular, even if all the opposite is 100% true. Not this mother. And we don't know what happened. It said she gave, I gave birth to him in pain. It could have been the birthing process. It was just. But he had brothers. So on a comparison scale of pain, oh, those brothers were a breeze, you're a pain. But something could have also happened to her. There's some thought that something could have happened to her. The circumstances of his conception could have been dire. Something untoward could have happened to this woman that brought on the conception of this child. And the conception of the child brought pain into her life, and therefore she projected the pain onto the name and onto the child that she was carrying and then bore. It doesn't matter under what circumstances you conceived. God wants to maximize the blessing in your life. He was more honorable than his brothers. So she spoke a name over him that signified exactly who he was. She spoke a name over him that prophesied who he was. I mean, Bible culture was like that. David. David in the Bible, the Hebrew David, means beloved. And he was a man after God's own heart. Beloved. You've heard of Phoebe. We find her in Romans chapter 16. She was a deaconess. So there's one who don't believe that women can be in leadership in the church. One up for the ladies here tonight. Why don't I get a hoo-hoo? It's the last time I do that, eh? I'm joking. Ooh, I'm going to just hide away here. Okay. And she assisted the elders in the church. And her name, Phoebe, means bright and pure. And her faith was like that. Her faith was pure and her faith was bright. In fact, her faith was so bright and so pure that she was selected by Paul to deliver Paul's letter to Rome, a 700-mile journey. She was bright. She was pure. Phoebe. It's a good name. Anybody looking for a name? Was more honorable than his brothers. He must have had an extraordinary character for the writer of Chronicles to pen that. And Jabez defied all odds. Everything was against this guy. But something happened. Something happened. He prayed. And let's get to his prayer. Back on the screen, please. Let's start from the beginning of that verse. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Next verse. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel. So what did he do? He didn't accept what had been allotted to him. Don't accept what the devil throws your way. It's not for you. It's not for you to take. Don't prophesy over your life what the naysayers try and prophesy over you. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. That's what we've got to do. We've got to cry out to maximize our blessing, the blessing of God in our lives. We've got to cry out, not just to any old God, but to the triune God. Jehovah, the one and only. And he said, oh, that you would bless me. He was cursed. And he reversed the curse in Jesus' name, or in God's name, the God of Israel. And he said, oh, that you would bless me. When somebody talks down on you and says, you can't do maths. God bless me. I can do maths in Jesus' name. Oh, you'll never be able to speak. Never. How many times has somebody told you that you can't do something? I'm doing tonight what I've been told by some naysayers I can't do. But they're right, I can't do it. Only God can do it through me. I never forget once, my piano teacher in high school, I was going in to do an exam, UNISA, University of South Africa, grade can't remember the grade, 5 or 6 or whatever it was, 7 exam. And I was walking to go to the door to walk into the examining room. And as I got to the door, she put her arms out across the door and said, "You're not going in there today." I said, "Really?" What she didn't know was I had a prayer meeting at school with my friends. They prayed the anointing of God on me, and they said, "You're going in there not to play exam pieces. You're going in there to worship the Most High God." So I tried to explain that to her. It went down really well. She was a Baptist lady, so she had some understanding. And she said, "You're going to embarrass the name of the school, and I know your parents personally. There's some Baptist link. And they will be embarrassed and ashamed of you because you're going to fail." You see, I wasn't a very good piano student. I got bored with the 3 pieces we had to play all year. I mean, imagine playing 3 pieces for a whole year, a Baroque, a classical, and a modern, all year long. So I changed my repertoire just like a few days before the exam. She hadn't even heard my pieces played hands together. And I said, "Miss, I'm going in there." I think I got the second highest mark in the school that year. When God has put it in your spirit, bless me and enlarge my territory. What's he talking about? Is he talking about being materialistic? I'll have that house and that house and that house, and we'll take that and we'll take that and we'll take that. What he's actually talking about, we've got to see through the lens of God, not through a lens of everyday life. What had been going on is that Israel, or Judah in this aspect, in this instance, had been captured. They were in Babylonian captivity. And they had been set free. And after they had been set free and they were back in their own land, Jabez prays, "Bless me and enlarge my territory." In other words, I'm not a man of sorrow anymore. I'm a man of God's blessing. And wherever I go, it's going to be successful. Wherever I go, people's lives are going to be enlarged and made better because I am there in the name of God. That's what he was praying. When you look at his circumstances, we know that the ultimate culmination and the ultimate fulfillment of Judah going back to their land was the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The ultimate enlarging of any territory. And that's my prayer for this year. God, enlarge my territory. Because what is it speaking about? In other words, Jabez prayed for more power. Jabez prayed for more power. When the scripture says, "Enlarge my territory," that means the power of God is in operation. Let me take you to the New Testament. It doesn't come up on the screen. Just keep that on the screen. That's perfect. Acts 1 verse 8. You should be able to quote this by now. I will show you that by Jabez praying, "Enlarge my territory," he was saying, "God, I need more of your power in my life." And I'll show that to you from the words of Jesus. Acts 1 verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Now look at the territory expansion. That's my words, not the Bible words. Here come the Bible words. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Do you see territory expansion there? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's territory expansion. And that's what God wants to do when we have the power. How did they expand God's kingdom, his territory? By the power of the Spirit in them. How was Jabez blessed? How did he expand territory? Not by the prophetic implication of his name, but by the prophetic implantation of God's word in his life. Hallelujah. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. I said this morning to the prayer meeting, let's get into the jet stream of the Holy Spirit. You know that when you fly, apparently from the west to the east, there is a jet stream at about 27, 28,000 feet. It varies, apparently. And when an aircraft gets into a healthy jet stream, what happens is it gets to its destination quickly and more fuel efficient. And when we get into, if I may use the expression, the jet stream of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we expand territory for Christ more quickly and more efficiently in Jesus' name. That's my prayer this year. My 2020 prayer is, God, expand, enlarge my territory, enlarge my territory. What does that mean? Everywhere we go, the kingdom expands. You young people at school, you go to school, God will enlarge your territory. His kingdom can expand in your school because you are there, because you are blessed. Oh, that you would bless me. When you have the blessing of God on our lives, supernatural stuff from God Almighty happens in our lives. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Let's stick with enlarge my territory. At work, you can enlarge God's territory. I'm praying that the churches, Buckstill Baptist Church, Epping Forest Church, the churches in this area that are into the Word and into the Holy Spirit, that God will expand our territory. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Get favor with man. Get favor with whoever we need to have favor with to see His kingdom come. I was praying, Lord, expand my territory. And a little silly materialistic thing happened yesterday. I was doing some entertaining at home, and I hadn't bought anything yet for it, so I rushed down to our local, I won't mention the name, and everyone was there Saturday morning. I mean, it's like the whole of Buckstill, we've got nothing better to do than push a trolley around. I mean, it's so sad, okay, but we're all there, and we're all pushing our trolley, and every till is full. Queues and I'm looking at the time, my guests are arriving, what are we going to do? I've left this too late. We're going to have salmonella, the chicken's not going to cook, oh my goodness, it's going to be terrible. No, I didn't say that, that's a Jabez before God blessed him thing. And I'm saying, Lord, I need to get home, just favor me. And the manager of the shop said, Kevin, there's no one at that checkout working there. If you go there, I'll open it for you. And I thought, Lord, if you can open a checkout for me, surely you can open the gates of heaven over Buckhurst Hill and enlarge our territory. Amen. Yeah. I mean, even in my name, it's like, oh. I mean, you know Kevin means beautiful at birth. At least I didn't get such a raw deal as Jabez. At least I was beautiful at one stage. I've also seen a definition of Kevin that means as bold as a lion. I'll hold on to that one. Power. Are we praying for the power of the Holy Spirit? I really believe we need more of the Holy Spirit in the church. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be praying in tongues more. I'm sorry that offends anyone's theology, but we really need to be praying in tongues more. Paul said he prayed in tongues more than them all. Next, and I'll hurry up. Look at the next bit. Let your hand be with me. What's he praying? He's praying for God's presence in his life. It's not just about the power of God. We're not called to be power freaks. We're not called to be power hungry. It's not about walking around, kabam, I've got the power. It's not about that. It's walking around in his presence. And when we walk around in his presence, our territory expands. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen the other way around. We need the blessing. And we walk in his presence. Let your hand be with me. Oh, man. That is so awesome. I'm going to use my own child as a demonstration again tonight. I'm sorry about this. I did it to you this morning as well. I mean, he has daddy's girl, and there's another daddy's girl at the back. They're both daddy's girls. But look, my hand is with my daughter. Now, I hope that you would say yes, that if you had to walk somewhere, now we're thinking, especially when you were a lot younger, not talking about like going out with your friends and all of that now, but if you had to go somewhere and you were kind of new there and you're a little bit younger and we're walking in and daddy's here and you there, if dad's hand was with you, do you think you'd feel a lot braver?
Yeah.
Oh, my darling, you gave the right answer. You can go and sit down. Thank you very much. But imagine that. Dad's hand with his daughter, hand in hand. God's hand is with us. He's with us. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the Great Commission, we are in partnership with God. Do you realize that? We are in partnership with God. He said, go, we go. We're in partnership. I will be with you. To the ends of the earth, I will never leave you. That's partnership. Presence. We need his presence in our lives. As your ministry grows, as you become more like Jesus in your discipleship, there will be more demands on you. There will be more conflict. When God's territory expands, the devil gets very nervous. Have you noticed? And when the devil gets nervous, he gets a little bit agitated. And he tries to stop God's kingdom moving forward. So he'll bring conflict, he'll bring temptation. Challenges, relational challenges. When God gives you greater responsibility, it will require a greater sensitivity to his presence. The more God gives you, the more weight he puts upon your ministry. Now we know his burden is light and his yoke is easy, or whatever way around that is, and that's talking about salvation. But when you're called, when you minister, he puts a weight, a calling, an anointing on you. And we gain our confidence in the presence of God. We lose our confidence in the presence of people. The reason why I can minister with boldness and, if I may say, authority, because I know God's authority and anointing, is because I've spent time with God. So when I come out to minister, I'm full of his spirit, not full of me. Because if I was full of me, I'd be hiding behind something, yeah. But I'm full of God. And that's how we're going to do this. That's how God's going to maximize his blessing in our lives. That's how we're going to expand territory, by being full of the presence of the most holy God. We can't ask God for more territory without asking him for more of his presence. From spending time in his presence. And lastly, look what he prayed. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. He spoke it out over his life. He said, I will be free from pain, so that I will be free from pain. But look what he prayed there, and keep me from harm. In other words, he prayed for protection. Protection. I believe we need to be praying more and more and more for God's protection on our lives. When we have success in Jesus' name, success invites the enemy's attack. It does. At our Leaders Away Day, one of our new leaders, flat tire on that morning. Invites attack when we step out for God. When your territory expands, your critics will multiply. Isn't that great news? look, let's be perfectly frank with each other. Anyone can criticize. It costs nothing to have an opinion. It costs everything to expand God's kingdom. The closer you get to God, the more Satan wants to attack you. When we are attacked, fears rise to the surface. When we are distracted, we are less effective. You know, I don't know when you've been to the movies and somebody's sitting in front of you and their mobile phone is on. And there's this bright screen and it distracts from the movie. And you think, man, I've taken the time out, I've paid all this money, you know, and you're disturbing me. And that's what the devil does. The screen, the vision, it's there. But the devil will light up other things in front of us and around us, other screens that's not of God to get our attention. You know, got to pray God's protection. We've got to watch what we watch. You know, we can't say, God, expand my territory. And I'm not preaching legalism now. This is grace. God, expand my territory. But we've been watching Love Island all week. What's the deal? Where's the presence of God in that? It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Jabez needed power, presence, protection. In humility, he prayed this. And God gave it to him. Look what it says there. And God granted his request. Wow. And God granted his request. You could say, looking at that prayer request on face value, it looks like the guy's full of pride. Looks like he's a megalomaniac. Looks like he wants an empire. All he wanted was for the curse to be reversed. He became more honorable than his brothers when the blessing was upon him, and God granted his request. His territory expanded. He was blessed. The presence of God was in his life. Where do we end? I want to ask you, where is your trust? If we're not expecting big things from God, perhaps we are living in pride. Because it's then all up to us. But when we expect big things from God and ask Him for big things, it shows our trust is in the Lord. We are humble in His sight. So this year, 2020. Lord, would you bless me? Lord, would you enlarge my territory? Lord, may your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain, free from how his mother and society labeled him and prophesied over him. He prophesied what God wanted. He prophesied blessing. And may your lips prophesy blessing over your life. And may your lips prophesy blessing over your family and your children's lives. And your grandchildren's lives. And like this morning, we saw a great grandmother here in our service. And may we go out here knowing that God's power is in us to expand his kingdom through us, expand territory. May we live in his presence and may we walk in his protection. Let us pray. Maybe you need to say, Lord, please bless me. Lord, enlarge my territory. Get a picture from God in your spirit what territory enlarging looks like for you or for your ministry. Let your hand be with me. Make a commitment to be in the presence of God. Not just to come to church on a Sunday, which is great, please keep coming. But every day, making that precious time with God. Keep me from harm. Let's pray God protects us. Put the armor of God on every day. We don't do it as a religious act, and we don't do it because we're superstitious. We do it because we believe God wants to protect us and that there's a real war out there. In Ephesians 6:18, after Paul speaks about spiritual warfare and the armor of God, he says then, pray constantly in the Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit prayer life increase. May God bless you with a heavenly language to speak the wonders and the mysteries of heaven and to pray directly in line with the heart and will of the Father. We get that when His hand is on us, when we spend time in His presence. That's not to say if you don't have that, that you haven't been in His presence. No, not at all. God's timing is perfect with everyone. But there's more. Even those who say, well, I have a heavenly language, there's more. There's more. Let's not get stuck in thinking we have it all. None of us have ever arrived. And God only has first-class citizens.